Life Audio.
Hi, I'm Emma Dancy, and welcome to Her Many Hats podcast, where we explore how women wear many hats while serving one God. Whatever role you are fulfilling, the Lord is using you in incredible ways. Let's take some time to seek the scriptures and learn how we can best honor Christ with the hats that we wear. Hey friends, it's Emma Dancy. Welcome back to Her Many Hats podcast, where we are currently exploring the hat of the unifier. Today, I have the joy and the honor of introducing you to a great friend of mine through the ministry here in the upstate of South Carolina. Her name is Grace Anna. Grace Anna, welcome to the show today.
Hello, friend. How are you?
Good. Are you doing well?
We're doing good. We're doing great. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here. Grace Anna is a senior at Upstate, and she will be graduating in just a month from now.
Oh my goodness.
Can't even believe it. She is a very multifaceted woman. She serves with the worship team. She is a part of Bible studies. She is part of ROTC. She's a tough girl. She is also getting her degree and working with high school students right now in completing that. You are a world changer, and I'm so thankful to know you. You know, if you're listening, this is not like a vocational ministry that Grace Anna is heading into, but she is going to be using her skills and her calling for the glory of God and to help people, which is really impressive and really empowering. So if you're listening, you have a ministry too, whatever that is and wherever you are. And today we are going to press into part of our ministry in our jobs, in our homes, in our communities and churches. What does it look like to be a unifier? So Grace Anna, how would you define biblical unity?
Oh, I love this question. This is one of those questions where I had to unpack over the couple of months, you know, and really trying to dig deep and see what does God actually say about it. And in my own words, I guess you could say, is I see biblical unity as us looking more like Christ. I think of when Jesus talks about in John, when he asks, like, Lord, make them one as we are one. And in that oneness, it is not denying the distinct characteristics of God, but they are all centered on one purpose. So I think about the Trinity and how, you know, God the Father does not contradict God the Son, and God the Son does not contradict or undermine God the Spirit. And so each within their characteristics, they are working together in the Godhead. And so I think biblical unity is Christ's church, his people reflecting him in the earth. It is one of those moments where, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. I think biblical unity allows us to do that in a way that is a testimony to the fact that God is real. When we can come together from different backgrounds and different cultures, from different beliefs, different everything, and be unified on this one thing, that Christ is Lord, I think that is a testimony that no one can deny. So to me, that's what biblical unity is.
When God asks us to do something, it's not something that he hasn't already modeled.
Yes.
that he in and of himself in the Trinity has very different parts, like you're saying. And yet there is this beautiful just oneness that we read about and we learn about in our, you know, in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that when we get to read the Bible and read of his perfect peace and oneness, that we can know, okay, I'm maybe different than this family member, or I might be different than this person at my church on this, you know, outside, not core issue belief. And yet we can still be unified because we have Christ. We have that oneness in the Father. And was there ever a time in your life when you felt outcasted for being different?
So many. And, all for different reasons. And so at different seasons of my life, coming into different parts of who, you know, God made me to be, and there being, you know, maybe some level of opposition for that. I grew up in a military family, and so we obviously, traveling a lot, and so we were around a lot of diverse people for a very long time. But even in those situations that, outside looking in, it's like, oh my gosh, you have like this utopia type of upbringing. There was still the kind of warring inside of me of, well, she doesn't necessarily fit with this group. I'm, an African American girl, and so it's, I don't necessarily fit with this group over here because maybe I talk a little different or my family has different traditions or stuff like that. But then also I don't fit in this group here either because even though, maybe we our families believe in the same God, but our traditions and our customs almost look nothing alike. And so that kind of moment of almost insecurity, it's like, well, is what I'm doing right? Our traditions and the way that we view God, is that correct? And so just different seasons of life having that kind of outcast be placed on me. And it's like you don't belong in either of these groups or any of these groups. And so just kind of maybe a little nomadic in, being able to bounce from whatever and whenever. And even now it's, I'm in my young 20s and it is still just kind of like a, well, we see eye to eye on some things, but then don't bring that part of you to this conversation. Or, we see eye to eye on this one thing, but don't bring the fact that you love Jesus into this conversation. And so it's still in some ways sometimes can feel like almost a bouncing around of like, okay, God, where is there a space where all of me is accepted in the way that you've created me? Because we're growing, I'm growing into realizing that, God created me this way with all these different facets of my life on purpose. And so finding a place where that is accepted has been an interesting process, but it's definitely forced me to lean into God more. And for that, I am grateful.
It's just amazing though that the differences were gifts, and that we've talked about how there's a difference in unity and uniformity, like we have unity in Christ, but it doesn't mean that he hasn't called us to be different. And so what does it look like to be the body,
Absolutely.
to be people who are united in Christ, but different?
You speaking just brought to my mind in Revelations where, it says every tribe and every tongue, and just reading that verse and honestly for a large portion of my life being a little confused by it, but then realizing we're going to have our differences in heaven. We will be able to see the tribes and the tongues and our personalities and all those different things, but it will be without sin. And that is one of those moments where it just shocked me. It's just like, God, you meant for this to happen. Like you meant for us to be unique and look different and speak different languages. Like you meant for that all along. And so one, it makes me so excited for heaven because I can just only imagine what that sounds like and what that feels like to be in a space surrounded by people of every tribe and every tongue, all worshiping the same God. But then also realizing that our differences, the difference in whether it's skin or culture or hair texture or language, like those differences were intentional by God. And they weren't a bad thing.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
What do you think are some of the greatest areas of growth that we as women of God can focus on in being unifiers?
For me, it has been a growth process in realizing that this task, this call of unity that God gives all believers, realizing that it isn't a one-time thing, that it is a constant growth process. That is our process of becoming more and more like Christ, is becoming more, first, obviously, you know, one with him, and then unified with our brothers and sisters. But as a task, I'm coming to realize that God chose to use the church to accomplish his mission. He didn't have to. He is God, and so he can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants to do it. But he chose to confine his impact in the earth physically with it through his church. And one, for me, that speaks very clearly to one, how God views his people and how much he loves his people, that he would choose to use us to accomplish his mission. But it also reminds me of the responsibility that we have to be willing to be used by him. And for the church, and I think for women in particular, being willing to be used by God is, you know, just realizing that we have to come at this thing with a level of humility. That knowing God is a privilege. I think of, you know, when the Bible says he with loving kindness has he drawn us. We didn't draw ourselves with our own intellect to this thing. And so coming at the task and the call of unity from a humble space, it's like, God, you chose me for this. I didn't choose myself. And so I can't make the rules up for this. They are your rules. That has been really transformative for my life. But then also realizing that, you know, knowing God is a privilege. And what that shows us is that all those who know Christ deserve the honor of having the Spirit of God be respected within them. And so even if we may disagree on some things, spirit knows spirit. And so there have been many times, at least in my life, where, you know, even if I do disagree on maybe another believer about something, it came to a point where it was just like, okay, God, I feel very passionately about this and they feel very passionately about this, but God, I have to trust the same spirit that you placed inside me, like your Holy Spirit that's living inside of me is also living in this other believer. And so as, you know, we both look to seek you with all of us, that will bring us closer to each other, not us trying to be unified first and then come to Christ. We have to seek Christ first.
Yes.
And then be unified within him. Even like at the Tower of Babel, there was unity there, but it was not unified under who God was, in honor and a reverence of who God was. People were unified within themselves. The Bible talks about nothing that they aimed to do would have been withheld from them, but people were inherently sinful. So none of the evil that they aimed to do would have been withheld from them because they were still unified in their own flesh. And so that's why it has become so much clearer to me that these conversations about unity, these conversations about, you know, reconciliation and being one within the body have to start with a clear understanding of who God is, and that he wrote the rules for this game. We did not. he wrote the rules for this, and so we have to follow what he says. Without our own opinions, without our own beliefs, without our own life stories. They impact us, but we have to go back to what God said.
I love that. And that kind of honestly flows in perfectly to my next question for you is, how do you recommend approaching culture with the hat of unifier, but not conforming to the patterns of the world?
This one's tricky. I say it's tricky because we've been, you know, born and socialized within a culture all of our lives. And that includes us individually. That includes us collectively. That even includes the institutions that we've made, like, you know, the church as an institution. It has been kind of created within a culture. And so a lot of times things that we can revere as this is a core belief might not actually be a biblical belief, just a cultural one. And so it is figuring out and having the Holy Spirit lead us in, okay, what is actually biblical truth and what is a cultural interpretation of what the Bible says. And those two are not always the same thing. And, you know, God was really challenging me a year and a half back, on just different beliefs that I had that I thought were just rooted in theology and rooted in the Bible. And, you know, I love the Holy Spirit so much. And just asked a simple question. He was like, who told you that? You know, who told you that this was what the case is? Who told you that it couldn't be something else? And you know, challenged me. I was like, okay, God, you know, stepping on my toes a little bit. Good Lord. But it was so helpful because there are things that held so close to my heart, thinking that this is the only way I can please God, when it was just a cultural thing. And so for me, it's, you know, putting my relationship with God in its proper place, which is first. And so anything that either comes to threaten that or comes against the character of God that I know to be true, those have to then bow to what I know to be true about God and say, you know what, God, this one thing over here is comfortable. This one thing is something I thought was true my whole life. But if you're saying that it isn't, then it isn't. Because you're the only one who truly knows truth. There are moments where, you know, like, well, God, this thing is happening out in the world. And you know, I feel this righteous indignation. And that righteous indignation might be justified. But I'm learning that one of the things that God does that is so beautiful is that he brings balance. And so even if, you know, say, a injustice happens in the world or, you know, something goes in a way that we think is biblically wrong, it is finding the middle ground between what some choose to do, which is just be apathetic. And that's where you kind of get the idea of, you know, well, the world is terrible, so I'm just going to wait towards heaven. That's not what we're called to do as Christians. We are called to be the salt and light of the earth. He didn't call us to be, you know, salt and light of heaven. We're salt and light of earth. And so we can't, you know, swing towards this apathetic, well, God will handle it when he gets here because he called us to. But also I have to make a conscious decision not to swing towards vengeance. Because, you know, God is very clear. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So if I then swing towards the side of getting of, you know, being justified in my own works or looking for vengeance in my flesh, that means that I don't actually trust God to be my defender. I don't trust God to be a righteous judge if I want to take justice into my own hands. And so for me, it is what I think for Christians and what at least the Holy Spirit has been calling me to is finding the balance, and God, the Holy Spirit brings balance in that. So we are not ones to be apathetic when we see wrong happen in the earth. We are not to be apathetic. We are not to turn a blind eye, but we are also not to fully try to seek a worldly justice here, because even a worldly justice cannot fulfill what we are longing for. And so we have to trust God that He is the righteous judge. I am not. And so I have to trust that He will make the wrongs right. And maybe He will use me to do it. And maybe that will happen in my lifetime, but maybe not. But He, yes, at the end of the day, will. And so, you know, God brings balance. And so just finding that balance.
Just to end us today, end our time together, what do you think is one of the greatest hurdles for Christ followers to be unified?
I think this is also, you know, a hurdle that can present itself to us, you know, not even just in the topic of being unified with each other, but also in the topic of us being unified with God. The hurdles can pop up when we, you know, either refuse or constantly and continuously will silence the Holy Spirit in an area. And I can't take credit for this one, because my father explained it to me like this, but the Holy Spirit is, you know, he's a gentleman. And so he's a gentle reminder. And he's always speaking. It's just whether or not we choose to hear it. And so it is, you know, almost, if you live by a train long enough, you won't hear it anymore, because you're living beside that train, but you're choosing to ignore it. And so I think, a lot of times in various aspects of our lives, but I think it's really easy to grow callous to what the Holy Spirit is saying, either because it makes us uncomfortable or it threatens a cultural identity, or it threatens a cultural norm that we've ascribed to for so long. But I think we have to stay sensitive and ask God to make our hearts sensitive again to what His Spirit is saying. I also think there's a part of us where we have to come to recognize that, you know, if God can save anyone and the Holy Spirit can live in anyone, that means He can speak through anyone. And I can see how we would break God's heart when we've refused to listen to each other. And that doesn't mean we always agree. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to see eye to eye, but there is a level of listening, and not just listening to hear, but listening to understand within the body, that if we, you know, if we don't do it, that can be a major hurdle to us being one within Christ. You know, there's something worth hearing in everyone, and that might, you know, could be just the respect that we give to the image of God in a person, you know, that they are willing to be listened to, and in that, it is, I think, again, of how culture impacts the way that we, one, interact with God, and how our own life experiences, you know, it is, if you needed a friend, then God is a friend to you. Like we see that over and over in the Psalms, where God is a friend to David, and in other places we see where God is a comforter, and we see God as a righteous judge, and we see Him as, you know, a creator in Genesis. But if we only stick to the experience that we've had, if I've only experienced God as, you know, He's been a friend for me, so then I disregard the fact that He is a comforter, a judge, and a creator, then I am missing part of who God is. That can be a hurdle. And I think, you know, it takes the Holy Spirit to then remove that in us, because it's, you know, human might doesn't do the trick. We've tried before. It doesn't work. So it has to happen through the Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you so much, Grace Anna, for joining us today on Her Many Hats, talking about the hat of unifier. If anyone's listening, we thank you for tuning in and learning more about what it looks like to be a woman who is seeking unity through Christ. Thank you for your wisdom and your friendship. And I'm grateful that you have just shared with us. I feel like it has just been so helpful to me, and I'm sure anyone who's listening, we just, we're so thankful that you could be on our show today, Graciana. And yeah, thank you for your words and for your friendship.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Thanks. We're so happy you could join us. And if you're listening, feel free to tune in more to Her Many Hats podcast next week as we continue to explore the hat of unifier.
Her Many Hats is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. To hear more from Emma, visit her site, emmadanzi.wordpress.com. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a minute and leave us a rating and review in your podcast app? It really does help us connect to more listeners like you. This podcast is produced by Kelly Givens and Stephen Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Looking for ways to stay positive? Brighten your day with the free Story Behind podcast. Hear weekly short stories that showcase true joy, love, and hope. Listen now at lifeaudio.com or by searching for Story Behind wherever you get your podcasts.